Let's begin with you, Christy Leonard. Mosh is always unveiling fascinating new exhibits. I love checking them out and bringing my children. How did Uncovering the Past come together? Because I understand it's a collaboration among several different groups.
It is, absolutely. I have to give credit to the Timucuan Trail Parks Foundation. They came to us with the great idea of showcasing the current work that's being done that Dr. Ashley's doing in our state and local parks. And it's a perfect fit with our mission, something that we like to share with our visitors.
Dr. Ashley, you curated this exhibit. We know most people know a little bit about the early Native Americans in this part of Florida, but this will really fill in a lot of gaps for people that come and see what you've put on display. What will people be able to learn and observe and see?
Well, I think Florida has, at least Northeast Florida, has this remarkable Native American history. And it's a history that really, it extends back, you know, thousands of years before, you know, Jean Ribault stepped foot on Fort George Island in 1562, and it continued for 150 years afterwards. So a lot of people don't know about that. They just know about this little window in time, 1562 to 1565, when the French and Spanish first arrived. But what it is here, we're looking back over thousands of year history that really presents what we're finding here in northeastern Florida.
And so people will learn how early Native Americans lived, their customs. There are artifacts that have never before been uncovered. Yeah. What have you been able to literally dig up?
Yeah, it's really great diversity. I think sometimes people think that the Native Americans at European contact were the same way for thousands of years, when in reality there's great diversity, and we're really kind of demonstrating that through this exhibit. So these finds have been finds within recent years, within the last decade, and they've really brought new insights and new interpretations to the way we look at Native American history. And one thing about archaeology, it's always a work in progress. We're never final. So as we dig and excavate more, we find more, we can tweak our interpretations. We can sometimes prove that our hypotheses are wrong, or we can strengthen them. So right now, I think this is a great stopping point for our current state of knowledge of Native American history.
What are some of the finds that have changed our perception of the earliest residents of this area?
Well, I'll share one of my favorite pieces that we have in the exhibit, and it's actually a replica piece that we had made, but it's the long-nosed god mask, and I'll let Keith tell you a little bit more about that.
The long-nosed god mask?
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, what we see is about 1,000 years ago, the natives of northeastern Florida were involved in these really far-flung exchange networks, and they were acquiring copper from the Great Lakes region, galena from the Ozark Mountains, mica from the Appalachian Mountains. But this long-nosed god mascots were probably crafted at a site called Cahokia, and it's just outside of St. Louis, Missouri.
Really?
And they're the earpieces that they would have worn that would have been made out of copper, kind of shield-shaped, and they would have had a long nose on there. And in 1894, when the archaeologists digging in this area uncovered them. And there's only been 7 pair that's been found in all of North America. And we got a pair right here in Jacksonville.
So it's a rare find.
Yes, it is.
And it's a way to establish these trade networks that went on across great distances. People might not realize that that was going on. Yeah?
Absolutely. It's amazing the communication and the trade that was happening so early.
And how were you able to establish that? How were you able to determine that that's how Native peoples lived and thrived?
Well, what it is, we're finding these materials just a great distance away. And then what we find is that sometimes people think that they're kind of passed to the closest people and then passed again to another people and another people. And through a series of middlemen traders, they work their way here. Well, we're finding out that that's not the case, that we see direct contact and diplomacy between groups here in northeastern Florida and groups in northern Georgia and as far away as Illinois.
And what I'm also interested to hear about is you look at early Native American life on the First Coast before European contact and after. Tell us about that.
Yeah, the amazing story, I think, is really when the Spanish and the French come in and you see the mission system. And the artifacts from that period, to me, are absolutely amazing. The National Park Service actually allowed us to loan several of those pieces that are really unique and tell the story about what was happening when those two cultures collided.
Yeah, I think most people, when they think of Spanish missions, they think of California or the Alamo in Texas,
right,
or the
right.
Southwest. But there was actually a Spanish mission system here 200 years earlier, and it was really larger than the California mission system. What separates us is that we don't have the standing ruins that you see in California. They would have built churches out of just thatch and palm fronds, so they would have decomposed really quickly.
How challenging is it to mount this type of exhibit with these ancient artifacts and delicately handled and lots of work, I would think? Yeah.
It is a lot of work. It's a really fun process, though. Everything from designing the layout to the exhibit to mounting each specific artifact. We definitely have to take a lot of care with some of these because they're irreplaceable.
There's also artwork that's part of this, too, correct?
Yes. Ted Morris, an artist from St. Augustine, Florida, we've incorporated his work into the exhibit. He's a wonderful artist, and his paintings really show us what the Tumukwin probably looked like. He even depicts the artifacts in those paintings.
This must have been, I would think, Dr. Ashley, a really satisfying project to work on, almost like a dream project.
Actually, it is. We've done a lot of work at the University of North Florida, myself and my colleagues, Buzz Toonen and Vicki Rowland, and then UNF students and actually volunteers from the city of Jacksonville have really participated in our projects. So really, his projects beginning probably in 1997, and a lot of these were archaeological field schools, summer field schools that students participated in. So it's nice to see this over a 15-17-year period. And how much we've kind of accomplished.
And this is interesting too, Christy. You feature sites that we know today as Fort George Island State Park, Mayport, Big Talbot Island, Queens Harbor.
Yeah.
Which looks very different today than when the early Tumukwin lived there.
Very different. The park system plays such a huge role in preserving that land and preserving that history. And then we also, of course, as you mentioned, we've got sites on private land. And Keith works in those sites very often, working with the homeowners. So it's interesting.
Now, this opened in October. People have some time to get out and see it. How long is the exhibit up?
It's up until August 31st of next year.
Very nice. Well, it's Uncovering the Past, New Archaeological Discoveries of Northeast Florida. It is up now at the Museum of Science and History, the MOSH. Go see it. Take your kids. Christy Leonard, Deputy Director at MOSH, guest curator Dr. Keith Ashley, fascinating to speak with you both. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll have more about the Uncovering the Past exhibit on our website later today at wjctnews.org.